I'm Rhiannon Branch with Brownfield Ag News here with Lynn Crisp, who is with the National Corn Growers Association. How are you doing today, Lynn?
I'm doing really well and just excited to be here at the annual meeting then and have an opportunity to visit with a number of farm broadcasters.
Yes, we appreciate being able to talk to you as well. There's always news around, you know, NCGA. What is the news today?
The news today is pretty much centered around the fact that we have just signed a memorandum of understanding with the National Pork Board and the National Soybean Checkoff Board, and along with NCGA, the three of us have entered into an agreement where we are going to collaborate with our opportunities to share research and communication resources to take a much closer look at sustainability. Sustainability is a question that we are getting asked more and more all the time. Our consuming public, our customers are wanting to know more about why we are doing what we are doing and how we're going about it as to the impact that it makes on the environment.
Definitely, it was very cool that you were able to share that with the farm broadcasters by signing that yesterday. And there's another place on the Brownfield website that people will be able to locate and read a story about that. So let's move on to some other key topics in the corn industry. Let's talk trade.
Trade is one of the three big rocks that we've been focusing on for a year or better at this juncture. And for a while, I have to be honest with the fact that we were kind of frustrated with lack of progress then and the turmoil that it was creating in the discussions and the negotiations with some of our key trading partners. But the attitudes has seemed to change in the countryside now with the negotiations portion of an agreement with South Korea and the recently announced U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement having been finalized. And now we are just looking at the opportunities to get things scheduled and ratified so that we can let the ink dry on these agreements as well.
You said you'd been working with three big rocks. What are those other two?
For the National Corn Growers Association, it's always defense of the renewable fuel standard. And within that arena, the opportunities that we've been working on since last March in order to make E15 available to the market on a year-round basis, that was a real hindrance to the next steps of being able to ramp up inclusion of E15 in our national fuel supply. So looking forward to getting that done. We're not crossed that finish line yet, as EPA is going to issue a rule, and then we'll go through a comment period and then the issuance of a final rule, hopefully all concluded by May of next year, so that we can consuming public can see the full benefit of being able to use it year-round.
Did we cover that third rock?
Not yet, but the third rock is everybody in farm country is anxiously waiting for Congress to conclude the farm bill. It is in conference right now. As everyone knows, the election is behind us. We've been assured by the conferees that there's going to be a major push to have it done by the end of the year. We think that that's reasonable. They just need to get the compromises made then and get it signed.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that may not have mentioned that, you know, farmers are wanting to hear about?
Just in general, one of the key questions that I've been asked recently is what kind of a value does my membership have? And for me, that's an easy answer from the standpoint is that we're not talking about very many dollars for the ability to engage in NCGA's activities as an organization. And as far as I'm concerned, over a 40-year career on the farm, those few dollars a year is one of the best investments that I've made.
What kind of, you know, programs and things are those dollars going towards for the people who are asking, you know, why do I need to be a part of this?
Yeah, NCGA has two principal funding sources. One is directly by our membership, and the other is our checkoff dollars that we contract with the individual states to support our programming. But most states, and rightfully so, have a barrier to where checkoff dollars cannot be used for the lobbying efforts that we need to support our DC office then dealing with legislation and regulation that affects us every day on the farm. So as you can see with that understanding, those membership dollars to support that effort in DC is extremely important.
We're quickly approaching the turn for 2019. What can we expect kind of from NCGA, or what are some maybe issues or expectations you have going into 2019?
One of the things that I am focusing on as president of the organization, where I might have a small impact on what's going on at this point in time, is the consideration for where NCGA is looking at into the future with a future fuels policy. Everybody is aware that there are some ongoing discussions that have happened over the last 6 months between the automakers and the petroleum refiners, as the automakers are coming up against a real wall in being able to meet their CAFE standards going forward, and they are looking at opportunities to optimize engines, powertrains in a situation where they are wanting higher octane in their gasoline so that they can make their engines into the future a whole lot more efficient than what they currently are.
That's Lynn Crisp, president of the National Corn Growers Association. I'm Rhiannon Branch on Brownfield.